Can I invite you tonight to come with me to two passages? Firstly, Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll go back to Genesis chapter 22. But Hebrews 11, as you know, Sunday nights we're working our way through Hebrews chapter 11, and tonight we're going to read verses 17 through to 19, and then we're going back to Genesis 22. But Hebrews 11 first, and starting at verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. And then flick back, keep your finger in that passage, but flick back to Genesis 22 verse 1, which opens up that passage in more detail for us. Genesis 22 verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on your boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of a son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Amen, and we trust that God will bless to us tonight these readings of his precious truth for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And sisters, this is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation. Thank you.
find that very moving, very, very powerful. Let's just pray together. Let's all pray. Father, this is an emergency, and the gospel is only good news if people get there in time. And Lord, we just look out on that video tonight and we see people groups that are so lost without Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless the ministry of Asia Link. We thank you for the times that Gordon Stewart has been here. And Lord, there's images from the videos and the presentations he's made that are indelibly imprinted on our minds. Lord, North Korea, Lord God, people swimming across rivers to get your word into that land. People who are risking their lives in a land where if you're discovered to be a Christian, you're imprisoned, maybe for the rest of your days, or you're murdered. And oh God, we just pray for your church in North Korea tonight, Lord, that you'll build your church. And Lord, you'll do something in our hearts, Lord. The gospel is only good news, Lord, if we get there in time. And Lord, these people are so lost. So just break our hearts, Lord, over a lost world tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I don't usually get emotional. Okay, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing. By faith, we see the hand of God. It ties in so well with what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's worship God. Okay, let me invite you tonight to open your Bible. Have one finger at Hebrews chapter 11. These great heroes of the faith. And Genesis 22, the other finger in Genesis chapter 22. And the title, as you can see, is When God Doesn't Make Sense, Keep Believing. When God Doesn't Make Sense, Keep Believing. And tonight in verses 17, 18 and 19 of Hebrews 11, you'll notice the spotlight is very much on this guy, Abraham. We're coming back to think about him again. And we're thinking about a situation in Abraham's life when God simply didn't make sense. And I don't know where you're at tonight in your walk with the Lord if you're a Christian. But you know, lots of Christians go through weeks, maybe months, maybe years, where it seems as if God just doesn't make sense. Years where we really struggle to understand what the Lord's doing in our lives. And if that's you tonight, I trust that you will get succor spiritually, encouragement spiritually from these passages we're going to open up together. And as I say, we're going to be in Hebrews 11 and Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to tackle these verses under three headings, and then we're going to apply them in a fourth heading tonight. Here's the first one, Abraham's test. Abraham's test. Now look at Hebrews 11 verse 17. It's very, very clear what God was up to. You can't miss what God was doing in Abraham's life. Hebrews 11 verse 17. Let's read it. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and his only son. You talk about times when God doesn't make sense. If I said that tonight and Abraham was physically with us, he would be sitting there tonight and saying amen. Because Abraham could identify with those sorts of times in his life. Remember, Abraham had grown up as a pagan in the Ur of the Chaldees, which is now Iraq. God had called him by his grace. He had married Sarah. And for 25 years, Abraham and Sarah had prayed for a son. And after 25 years of praying, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had an answer to prayer. And that answer to prayer was a wee guy called Isaac. And now what is God saying to them? Now God is saying, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice Isaac there to me. Now turn back to the Genesis 22 passage. And in the Genesis 22 passage, God is saying exactly the same thing, although he's opening it up and giving us more detail. And you will discover in the Genesis 22 verse 1, it says, some time later, God tested Abraham. So to the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 11 verse 17 and Moses who wrote Genesis in Genesis 22 verse 1, they are both using the word test, God tested Abraham. The word test here literally means to try. It means to prove. God tests his children to see how they are growing in grace. And sometimes we get mixed up between tests and temptations. Look at this quotation. It will come up on the screen. Someone has said, Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God tests us to bring out the best in us. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God tests us to bring out the best in us. And you know, God's tests are always very timely. I believe 10 years before Genesis 22, Abraham would not have been ready for Mount Moriah. Abraham would not have been ready for this test in his life. But if you look at this Genesis 22 passage, look at verse 2. It's as if God is teasing it out when God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there. And I believe every one of those four or five phrases in Genesis 22 verse 2 must have cut Abraham to the core of his being. Isaac, the son that he'd prayed for such a long time. Isaac, the miracle child that God had given Abraham and Sarah in their whole old age. Isaac, the very one in whom he believed his whole future was bound up in blessing the nations through, was now to be sacrificed to God in Mount Moriah. I'm sure Abraham thought to himself, Lord, you just don't make sense. Lord, I can't figure this out. I can't understand what you're doing. And let me apply that to you tonight to encourage you. I wonder, are you going through a time like that in your life right now? A time when the Lord just simply doesn't make sense. We love to have God sussed out. We love to put a God in a box that we can understand him and have him all sussed out in our minds. But are you going through a time, maybe this past week, maybe months, maybe even years recently, and God just does not make sense? Well, if that is you, let me encourage you with some verses from Isaiah 55. Listen to verses 8 and 9. God says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my way higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Is God testing you at the moment? Peter says of our tests or our trials in 1 Peter 1 verse 7, These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine. God tests us to see how we're getting on. Do you remember when you were young and you were at school and it came to tests at school and you thought, why do I have to do this test? To let the teacher see and to let yourself see that you are making progress. So the Lord tests us. He tested Abraham. Abraham's test. Here's the second thing. Abraham's trust. Go to the very next verse. Flick back to the Hebrews 11 passage. Look at verse 18. Even though God had said it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 12 when God had called Abraham? And God had made a magnificent promise to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And do you remember the terminology that God said? Abraham, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sands of the seashore, as the stars of the sky. That was God's promise of blessing to Abraham. But now this simply could not happen. If Isaac died as a sacrifice. You see, from Abraham's point of view, God's request seemed to be one enormous contradiction. God commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac, and yet God promised to bring the blessing to the nations of the world who through Isaac. Again, it just did not make sense. And yet the options were twofold. There was two options. Option A was he could obey. Option B was he could disobey. And you know, we're going to sing at the end, but it's the way we live the life, the Christian life, the life of discipleship with Jesus. We trust and obey. We walk with him, trusting him each step of the way, even when it doesn't make sense. And it's easy sometimes to get bogged down. But Lord, what about this? Lord, what about that? What about the other? And yet we need to leave the details with the Lord. And we just have to trust him. The Lord wants us to trust him. Do you remember when your children were small? And they were asking you to do something, and you'd all planned, and they came to you and they said, Daddy, Mommy, what about this? What about that? What about the other? And you said, just trust me. Just trust me. And you as a parent or a grandparent, you will only do what is absolutely your best for your children, won't you? And yet our loving Heavenly Father will only do what is his best, what is good for us, his children. Abraham's test, Abraham's trust. Here's the third thing, three T's, Abraham's triumph. Go back to Hebrews 11 again, verse 19. Look what the writer of the Hebrews says in verse 19 of Hebrews 11. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Now here in Hebrews 11, we learn something that is only hinted at in Genesis chapter 22. According to Hebrews 11, Abraham expected that somehow, some way, God was going to work things out that Isaac would live again. Now go over to the Genesis chapter 22 passage and let's see this in detail. As Abraham and Isaac went up Mount Moriah, look at verse 5. This is very significant. Genesis 22 verse 5. Abraham says, stay here to his servant with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then, what's the next word? We will come back to you. Did you notice that word, we? Not I will come back, but we will come back. Abraham believed that he and Isaac would somehow return together. And as the two of them walked on up the Mount Moriah, look at verse 7. Isaac asks his dad this question. Verse 7, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's reply is a reply of faith. Look at verse 8. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Bear all that in mind. And then go back over again. Sorry, I'm flicking you about from the two passages to the Hebrews 11, verse 19 verse. Look at this. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Now please notice that this is only Genesis 22. God has never raised anyone from the dead before. It would be different if Abraham was living after the resurrection of Jesus, or even during the days of Jesus, and knowing that Jesus had raised the dead, he would have something to go by. Well, Jesus has done it, surely it can happen again. But Abraham was having the faith to believe that somehow God could do something that he had never done before. Raise the dead. And it turned out that Abraham was partly right about it. God can raise the dead. He was totally right in that aspect. He raised the dead when he brought his son back to life on that first Easter day. That part was correct. But Abraham was wrong in his thinking that Isaac was going to die that day. Isaac didn't literally die, because at the very last second, do you remember what happened? God cried out, don't harm the boy, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. God said, don't harm him. Abraham looked over and there was a ram caught in the thicket, and that ram died in Isaac's place. But you talk about Abraham's triumph. He literally believed God would do something that God had never ever done before. And what's that saying to us? That is saying to you, that is saying to me, it's easy to put God in a box. But we need to trust him. We need to trust that he is God and there's none like him. We need to keep believing even when it doesn't make sense. But what can we learn tonight from this passage, the Hebrews 11 passage and the Genesis 22 passage? Look at point number 4. What are we meant to take away from the account of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah? And I believe there are two very simple but very, very powerful points of application. Here's the first one, point A. Here is an Old Testament picture of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I shared this with you before, but let me share it again. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. I think we thought about this on Good Friday evening. It says, "Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem at Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father." What is that saying to us? It's saying the holy city of Jerusalem was built on Mount Moriah. And we know that the city, the hill of Calvary, was outside the city walls of Jerusalem. In Abraham's day, Moriah was barren. It was uninhabited. Abraham did not yet see Jerusalem or the temple or Calvary. But Almighty God looked down through time. And Almighty God, as he looked down through time, when he saw Abraham taking his son, his only son, whom he loved, and being prepared to sacrifice him, he saw a great picture of what God would ultimately do in Jesus Christ for you and me. I love what F.B. Meyer says. Look at this quotation. It will come up there. There it's there. "There is only one scene in history by which Genesis 22 is surpassed. And that is where the great father gave his Isaac to a death from which there was no deliverance." Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want to urge you, you need to get to the cross. It's the cross of Calvary that's the only hope for you if you're lost and you're undone and lost without Jesus. Calvary's the place where you need to come with your sin. Calvary's the place where you need to repent. Calvary's the place where you can be born again. And I want to ask you, have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the cross? How can you say no to Jesus when you think that God was prepared to give a son, his only son, Jesus, whom he loved, for you and for me? How can you say, "Jesus, no thank you. I don't want your amazing salvation"? That's the first point of application. Here's the second one, and it's specifically for Christians. Believer, hold nothing back from God. Hold nothing back from God. Do you know, when I read Genesis 22, I'm struck by the little phrase that God uses twice when he's talking to Abraham. Verse 12 of Genesis 22, "You have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Verse 16, "You have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham was literally prepared to put his son on the altar, so to speak. We sometimes use that sort of language in evangelicalism. He was prepared to give God Isaac. He was prepared to give God the most precious thing he had. In one of her books, Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband Jim Elliot died on the mission field, she makes the point that the process of Christian growth is one in which God breaks the idols in our lives one by one. And we can all have idols. And sometimes God puts his finger on those idols, those things that become too precious, those things that become more precious than the Lord Jesus. And if there's something in your life and it's taken Jesus' place, then it's out of place. If there's something in my life and it's taken Jesus' place, then it's out of place. Look at this quotation from Spurgeon. He said, "It may be that Isaac, though a gift from God, began to usurp God's place. And Isaac may become an idol. The dearest thing we have, the most precious thing, may still be an abomination, may become an abomination by being made an idol to keep us away from God." Unquote. It's not just, as we watched that video, people in the Middle East who worship idols. People in Saintfield worship idols. Our idols are not made of wood or stone. Our idols can be a spouse. Our idols can be a career path. Our idols can be children. Our idols can be a bank balance. Our idols can be an ambition. Anything that takes Jesus' place is out of place. And the great challenge tonight for every person who is a Christian here is this challenge. Are we withholding anything from the Lord? Abraham was putting no limits on what God can have. And I want to say to you, look at this one-liner. It will come up there on the screen. Refuse nothing to God. There it is. Refuse nothing to God. Abraham was prepared to give God Isaac. The Isaac that he had longed for 25 years. The Isaac that meant so much to him and Sarah. Refuse nothing to God. So I'm challenging you, as I challenge myself, are you given 100% to the Lord? That's what holiness, that's what sanctification is all about. It's giving yourself 100% to the Lord. It's not giving yourself 50% to the Lord and holding on to 50% for yourself. It's giving God all. It's abandoning everything. It's maybe consecration might be a better word. But that's what's needed today. If you grew up through CE, you will understand the word consecration. We need to consecrate our lives and abandon ourselves to the Lord. The last revival that England has known was in the 1920s in East Anglia and Norfolk. And one of the ministers that God used in that revival was a man called Pastor Douglas Brown. And Douglas Brown said that before the revival, he became acutely aware that there was something missing in his walk with the Lord. Listen to what he said. I quote, "Christ laid his hand on a proud minister and told me that I'd not gone far enough, that there was reservations in my surrender, that I was holding back from God," unquote. I wonder tonight, is God putting his finger on something in your life, something in my life? Is God saying there's an Isaac? There's something that's more important. There's something that makes your heart more excited. Then your heart gets excited over Jesus. And whatever it is, we have to give it to the Lord. Whatever it is, we have to surrender it to the Lord. Whatever it is, it has to be placed before the Lord. It has to be given to him tonight. Hold nothing back from the Lord. As I say, that video has touched my heart over the last few days. I've watched it again and again, and it blesses me, and it just touches something in there. But if those people who are so lost around the world tonight are going to be one for Jesus, they've got to get the gospel before it's too late. And here we are in privileged Northern Ireland, where there's so many churches and so many people who have heard it again and again and again. And tonight there's people in North Korea who have never heard. And I struggle with that. Tonight there are people in Iraq who have never heard, and that breaks my heart. Refuse nothing to God. Refuse nothing to God. Hold nothing back. And you don't know how God will use you or how God will use me. So keep believing. Keep believing. Even when God doesn't make sense. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this very familiar passage about Abraham. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual truths that have touched our hearts tonight, that Abraham was willing just to give everything to God. And Lord, if we have an Isaac, something that has become too precious to us, something that has taken God's place, something that's on the throne rather than Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll put your finger on it tonight. And I pray that we'll be willing to take our Isaac, as it were, and offer it to God. Lord, I pray that we will be a generation of believers who held nothing back from God. Father, we have watched this video and we're just moved by the lostness of people. by the lostness of people throughout the world tonight on the mission field. And Lord, this good news is not going to be good news if they don't hear it before it's too late. And Lord, there are people in North Korea and Iraq, in those Middle East countries, Lord, tonight, and they've gone into eternity. And they have never heard the precious saving name of Jesus. Lord, break our hearts tonight by what breaks your heart. And Lord, maybe you're going to call some of us to go. Maybe you're going to burden us to pray even more for ministries like Asia Link. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. But Lord, we need to go into all the world with the gospel before it's too late, before people die, or before Jesus comes again. And Lord, thank you for this great picture of Calvary that we've seen in Genesis 22. And Lord, if there's anyone here and they've never been saved, Lord, will you break their hearts tonight? Will you melt their hearts? And will you draw them irresistibly to Calvary? And will you save them this evening? Write these truths indelibly upon our hearts. And Lord, help us to keep believing, even when you don't make sense. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.